Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. And I am so excited tonight about our study in the Word on this evening. I give God all the praises and glory, who is the head of my life. And to everyone in their respective places, I thank God for you, 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 and you. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about the apostolic importation and the prophetic activation. But first, we're going to have a short devotion, and then we're going to go right into the Word of God. Amen. Tonight we're gonna I'm gonna just play up just something, and then we're gonna go right on into the Word of God. Just one second here.
Sweet. I know.
Reading will be coming from Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the northern pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall out at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. Therefore, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee in all thy ways. No, in all thy ways, and shall bear thee up in thy hand, lest thou dash thy feet against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder and the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and through him my salvation. I have just read through Psalms 91 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come before you tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, just thanking and praising you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, and to study your word, Lord. Now, Lord, we come repenting now, Father. We just come repenting, Lord, if any and every sin and unknown sin that we've committed against you, Father, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. And if we've offended anyone, if we've caused anyone to stumble, if we hurt anyone, Lord, along this journey, Lord, we ask your forgiveness on tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask you to search our hearts, our mind, and our spirit, hallelujah, if there is anything, Lord, in there that should not be. We ask you to remove it right now. We ask you to create in us, Lord, a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit and a sound mind. On this evening, Lord, we just give you praise on tonight, and we give you glory tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you now to bless everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Bless everyone on the radio broadcast, those in radio land on tonight, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to let me decrease 100%, Father, that the Holy Ghost may increase 100% and teach your people on tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless our mind and our thoughts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us all be on one accord on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight to let your anointing just cover this line, just like all running down Aaron's beard, Lord. I ask you on tonight to let your anointing cover this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus and everyone that's listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for explaining and explanations and everything that may be in our minds and our thoughts. I'm thanking you now that you've taken over and taken control in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise on tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, Father, and for your glory. We pray, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We just give God praise and glory on tonight, and we thank him for just being in the midst. He said, "What two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst." And I know God is right here. Hallelujah. I know he is. Hallelujah. Because I can feel his presence. Hallelujah. And I thank him on today. My God, hallelujah. He's a great God. My God, hallelujah. I thank him on tonight. Tonight we're going to be still talking about the apostolic impartation and the prophetic activation. But we're going to, on last week, we were talking about the different levels of the prophetic. And, man, I've studied so many things. We have so much to even cover we have a lot to cover when you're talking about the different levels of the prophetic. You have so many different levels. And God takes you through each level. He takes you through those different levels. And I thank and praise him on tonight for it. We got, and I'm just, you know, we have plenty of time. I'm not in a hurry. I want everybody to understand about the being a prophet and the anointing and the role of a prophet and everything that entails. When you have that calling on your life and when you have that anointing on your life and you're ready to go forward, you need to understand what God has called you to do. You have to understand. And you have to understand everything that a prophet goes through. We've been through that before, but you'll never learn and know too much, and we can go back over and over and over. But last Friday, we talked about the prophecy of Scripture. We talked about the gift of prophecy. We talked about the ascension gift prophet. We talked about the prophetic presbytery or the prophetic elder confirms and activates. We talked about the spirit of prophecy. We talked about the apostolic and the prophet team, divine order for the body. We talked about the prophetic ministers. So tonight, we're going to start talking about, and I'm just going to, we're going to start talking about the prophetic prophet covenant. We're going to go like that, and we got a lot to cover, but we're not going to rush through this, because this is like activating that prophetic even more, and all of us have an apostolic anointing on this with this. So the covenant, the phrase for the prophet's basis of authority and assurance of the supernatural support and enforcement. It's the covenant, you know, it's an agreement. It's just like the accounts of the prophetic induction of Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Also, the Lord's covenant with Samuel, where it says he let none of his words fall to the ground. That's over in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. That's the covenant that God has with the prophet. He won't let our words fall to the ground if we in the will of God. If we there in the will of God, he will not let not one word fall to the ground. The prophet credentials. The prophet's credentials. And I'm not even hitting the levels yet. I'm just talking about a few things before I get into the levels. The credentials of a prophet, the first one should be your mantle. The mantle sign and symbol. It's a sign and symbol that certifies you or I as one being worthy of the calling of a prophet. The gifts and callings and anointing that identifies one to trust a prophet according to God's standards. because a lot of times you have false prophets. And I'm not going to, a lot of them, and this is what I said, I'm not going to, because I know it's some false prophets out there, but we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't speak out of flesh and the stuff don't come to pass. So we have to pray, fast, study, whatever it takes, meditation. We have to do this. So our word that we get from God is accurate. And once he give us what he want us to know, then we need to cut it off. Because some of us can get in our flesh. And then we start letting the flesh tell us, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And No. If God didn't tell you, then you should be telling them. You shouldn't be. You should have an accurate word. If you hear God say spin or sit down or stand up, whatever it is, it may not sound right to you. But God know what he's doing. Always. Always. When you do that, God will give, he'll endorse you according to his prophetic covenant by manifesting or performing the word that the prophet speaks. And you can confirm this by going to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 6, and 1 Samuel 9 and 9. He will endorse you according to the terms of his prophetic covenant. Because God won't let his word shall not return void. It won't come back void. And not one word will fall to the ground. And then you have the strength of a prophet, the enforcement strength of a prophet. The prophet inherits ability to compel the manifestation of his or her words on earth. Forces and elements. Elijah pressing the elements of creation to produce the rain he had prophesied would come to end Israel's long drought. He used that as an example because he stopped the rain and he started it back. That's why I was teaching the other day that a lot of times when storms and tornadoes and all this stuff start coming, you can pray that thing another way. If you actually using your authority that God has given you. But we have to know that we got the authority, the power and authority to do that. We have to know that. If we don't know it, how can we stop anything? How can we pray that the wind will go east or away from us? It can be done. Just as sure as Elijah stopped the rain, prayed that God would stop the rain or hold it back, he prayed that it would start back. The drought went in, and it happened just like that. God is good. He is good. And a prophetess is a female prophet. A prophetess date back as far as the institution itself and ascribe or have all powers and authority and confidence of the male counterpart or the male. Some of the women prophets are Miriam and Deborah and Huldah, Anna, Philip's daughter. These were some of the prophets. You have to read over there in the book of Judges about a lot of them, and then you can go back to Michael over in chapter 6, and it speaks about the called prophets, too, and then over in Exodus chapter 15 and 20. Mm-hmm. But the prophet's mantle is a distinguished from the prophecy anointing. This term refers to the particular spiritual covering that designates and empowers the prophets. The mantle serves to promote and provoke the prophet's spirit within the office. A lot of times we don't know that we have our commission as a prophet. People don't even think that's necessary, but it is. You have to have your rightful credentials for sure. You have to have them. Your rightful credentials. And it serves to promote and provoke the prophet's spirit within the office. It is an official garment that is discerned by most people and honored and collaborated with by the angelic host. The prophet's mantle is how the prophet attracts a following, accurately presents the word of the Lord, and gathers the prophets personal economy in support of the ministry. See, a lot of people don't know that. I don't know if they know or not, but I feel like a lot of them don't know that mantle is not something that a natural eye can see. But a mantle is supernatural, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual cloak that a prophet has. It's not you can go in your closet and get it. No, it's not. So we have to know most people when you do prophecy and you hear the word of God and you give it to whoever it's for, it comes to pass. They know you have a mantle because whatever you said comes to pass. And even if it didn't come immediately and it come on down the line, at least it's coming to pass. But some people just give you a word and they put this together and put that together and trying to say this and say that, when all you have to do is say what you hear. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. I'm not adding nothing to it. And I'm not taking anything away from it. Because it's not my word. It's God's word. That's why he will not let any of his words fall to the ground. When he give them to you, they won't fall to the ground. But if we hear a bucket and we're going to say, well, he wants you to pour a bucket of water in the ground. Uh-uh. He might want you to step in it. He might want you to just get a bucket of water and sit it down. But we putting on what our fleshly minds think, you know, we can't let the flesh get into it. And see, this is a prophetic activation. The prophetic activation is a process whereby largely a dormant or feeble prophetic powers of a prophet are empowered by the Lord, either directly to Mary, by a human agent for service. And what I'm saying is that the Lord can do the activation himself, or he can use some human body to do it. The activation not only releases the serving gifting and mantle for service, but it imparts to them what is needed for effective hearing, seeing, discerning, and communicating in the spirit. Paul activated Timothy by the laying on of hands and the word of prophecy. The same was done for him by the older apostles. Jesus activated the 11 by breathing on them and declaring they will receive the Holy Spirit. Another example is when Moses activated Joshua according to the word of the Lord by laying hands on him and commending him to the office he was about to vacate. See, the Lord called it inaugurating him in the King James Version and charging him in the King James Version. Others call it the act of commissioning. So, but the Lord called it inaugurating him. And so it could be either in charging, it could be just like when we are ordained or commissioned, it could be charging or inaugurating. I can't even understand the word. Inaugurating. And people call it commissioning. Ordinarily, the laying on of hands and prophesying are accompanied by the anointing, where all symbolizing the oil of the Holy Spirit is either poured upon or smeared on them. Just like anointing somebody. You know how you anoint people. Well, I anoint myself all the time. And in so many other things, that's going to help us in the prophetic. If once we learn and we keep on learning, God open up our understanding. We have prophetic activation 101. If we are calling ourselves prophets and we've been commissioned or ordained a choice to be a prophet and we have the mantle, the prophetic mantle and anointing on our lives, we ought to want to know as much as possible about the prophetic. We ought to want to know about the prophetic. I want to learn as much as possible. And if don't nobody else want to learn, hey, that's on you, but God, God is not going to stop just because a few people don't want to know about the prophetic. It could be one person. But God knows who needs to know it, who don't. God knows who is calling, who's not. God knows who thinks they got the big head. It's not our gift, it belongs to God. And another thing, I just want to say happy Sabbath to everyone because we are in the Sabbath now, and I thank and praise God for the Sabbath day, the day of rest. But God is, when he get ready for you to know and do, you will know and you will do, because he will open up doors for you to be able to prophesy or to however he'll do it. God will do it, I'm telling you. And a lot of times he visits us in dreams and in visions. Sometimes you can meditate on the Lord. You can meditate upon his word, and he'll give you a word. His anointing is so great. It's so great. Just like I was telling you earlier about the oil, the anointing is just like the oil it runs and it goes, and his anointing just covers us. It's just like the oil. It's a covering. And I thank and praise God when people say, well, anoint me, and they don't really know. I mean, it's only oil, but it's by your faith and trust and belief in what the Word of God says. You know, and it's just symbolic. Mm-hmm. Now, we have the prophetic admonish term that describes the prophetic task of giving warnings, exhortations, and directives from God to one about to be inducted into service, elevated, reassigned, or demoted by God. Biblical examples of this are the Lord's words to David, to Solomon, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, and others before he promoted them in his kingdom. Then, because you know, this is what we're talking about, the prophetic elevation, the levels, the different levels of the prophetic, and elevation comes from above anyway. Then we have a prophetic appointment, and that's the call and installation of a prophet in the office to serve in its official capacity. This phrase speaks the prophet's completion of the procedure, training, grooming, and endorsement by mentors or senior prophets as evidence of God's release. The word for such standing in the Hebrew term is amad. It speaks to one being appointed to a leadership position with governing authority, as used in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20. Every prophet has an appointment, has a call into the office of a prophet. Okay? The prophetic apprenticeship, the term that describes the tenure of a prophet in training, placed under a seasoned prophet's oversight for development, training, refinement, and accreditation of the novice mantle. Elijah, Joshua, and the 12 disciples they all completed prophetic apprenticeship. You have to go through training, and you have to, God will develop us. You know, he develops us, and we have to, be refined in everything. We have to, because when you start off, you've got this novice mantle, and because some people think you is something that you can see and stuff, and it's not. Assignment is a mission or series of missions. Prophets are either sent or assigned to by God for the purpose of their delegated prophetic ministration. That's over in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1-3. We, a lot of times, God put us on assignment. We don't know why. We're saying, how did I get here? What is this? I don't want to go through this. It'd be an assignment for somebody else. I mean, it's your assignment, but it's for you doing something, making a difference in somebody's life or somebody's watching. It's some purpose that God has for you there. A lot of times, we want to preach, we want to minister, we want to do this, but God opens up opportunities for you to do it. I'm telling you, and when he does, that's your time. That's your space to do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, God knows exactly, all the time, he knows exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it. He knows when we need to be on that potter's wheel, He knows when he can push us out there a little bit. He knows when time for elevation. He knows what he's taking us from dimension to dimension. Elevation comes from above. Again, I say it. Man cannot elevate you. I do not want a man. I don't want man to elevate me in no shape, form, or fashion. But you get elevated by God. And I'm not talking about degrees and stuff like that. I'm talking about a spiritual elevation. Man try to do that, tell you when you need to do this, do that. But only God can do it. You'll know when you're being elevated, because the enemy will strike or attack you so hard, you know it's something coming around the corner. Hallelujah. When you at your lowest, when you're broken, he takes you and uses you mightily. That's when you can be used even the more. Hallelujah. When you're down and out and don't have anything and you're broken, God will take you and let you stand for him right then and there, because you know exactly what's going on and how people are being in need, how they are in need and suffering and all kind of things, being attacked by the enemy. You know so very well, because you've had the same experience. So it's not where you have read. It's not where a person have told you. You've experienced it firsthand, so you can talk about it and tell it just like it is. But we have so many levels. We have as prophets. We never, ever stop learning. I think a prophet never, ever stops being an intercessor. Because right now God is calling for the prophetic intercessor. That's somebody that pray all the time. You know, so it's a prophet that pray all the time. I'll say that, because I don't want to give anyone the wrong idea. So my thing is, all we have to do is seek God. Lord, I'm laying my will down. Whatever your will is for me, I'm here. Sometimes I pray so I be so embarrassed to go back. I be saying, here I am again, Lord. I know he said, Lord, here this girl come back again. But I don't have nobody else. So in every now and then, a prophet will need a word from another prophet. Because a lot of times we can't get the word for ourselves. You know, I hear when God talks. I hear him. I hear when he speaks. But sometimes we be needing to hear from somebody else a word. And God will send the people. If you will just allow him to do it, he will send the people to give you a word. Because you just don't take a word from anybody. Don't do that. I don't want to talk too much. The prophetic counseling constantly from a dialogue to a trilogue. Over in Isaiah chapter 7, let me read this. Verses 2 and 3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. See, the tree of David is fell. It's like a rod or a branch, and will grow up from the stump, the family of David. Jesse was David's father. And in the person of the Messiah, he would be characterized by the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the absolute integrity. What I'm saying is, when God gives us understanding, he gives us the dialogue to go along. So he give us the trilogue. He give us understanding. He give us wisdom, understanding. And these are the trilogues, not just dialogue, but he give us the spirit of wisdom. He give us the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And he should let us have a quicker, make us have quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. You have to have that quickly before all this other stuff, because you have to fear God. And with him giving us this, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon us. And all the rest of it comes with it. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, and the fear of the Lord. Come along with counseling. This come along with the prophetic. This come along with the prophetic, you know, ministering, giving a word, the anointing. It comes with that. David came out of the root of Jesse from his dad. But it was like a type of Christ. It was concerning Christ because, you know, Jesus came from this bloodline. He came from the bloodline. So that's what they was explaining here in Isaiah chapter 11. It's another one too. Proverbs 20 and 18. Just one second here. 20 and 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Every purpose is established by counsel. We should want to get counsel. Anybody that's seeking and have wisdom should want counsel, you know. And I don't know what that scripture is on counsel. Let me see. I'm looking for something. God is trying to give me something on this counsel. And I don't see it either. But we all should have good counsel. Yeah, I almost got it here. Help me, Lord. Anyway. Just one second. I'm going to find something on counsel here in just 1 minute. He's trying to give me something concerning counsel. Mm-hmm. counsel is the term for the ministry, is the prophetic counsel, in the aspects of the prophet that centers on advice, guidance, and direction over prediction and revelation. When counsel is present, prophetic counsel serves only to support or expedite the treatment action of the messenger's ministry. Prophetic counsel involves the word of knowledge, involves the word of wisdom, working of miracles, the deliverance portion, and the gift of prophecy. Prophetic counsel is part of the prophetic treatment duties of the ministry. It's part of that. Tongues and their interpretation may also be part of the prophetic counsel section and its treatment resorted to by the prophet to hear the word of the Lord. In addition, prophetic revelation derives from prophetic counsel, and they are generally specific to the deliverance and healing needed by its recipient. Over in Michael chapter 6 and 5, and in Revelation 2 and 4, and you can also find the anointing for ministry in Jesus' anointing for ministry in Isaiah chapter 11, where I was reading that a little while ago. But we all seek godly counsel. We all need to always go to God for godly counsel, because even apostles, even prophets, we need counseling. We need that. We need that. And a lot of times we don't get that. We need to talk. We need to, and I'm not saying for us to go around and tell this and tell that and all this. No, you need counsel for yourself. I need counsel for myself. A lot of times prophets are so alone all the time. They don't really much get to talk to people. And God will lead somebody your way for you to even talk to a little bit. So it's a good thing, a very good thing, to have godly counsel. And see, when you're in the Lord, when you in the prophetic and you in the Lord, you don't go back repeating what people tell you. You don't go back, I don't care. I mean, if you use anything for an example, you better not say no names or nothing if you think it will help somebody. But we need to know our prophetic role as a prophet or our gifting. We need to know where we stand, what things we need to be doing, what things we should not do. And a lot of times the Spirit of the Lord will let you know if you can hear, if you have ears to hear, he'll say, no, don't do that, don't say that, don't tell them, don't, you know. They'll warn, he'll warn you. But a lot of times we be doing it so we can be seen, so somebody can say, you know, in our day. And I really got a lot against it. Not saying that we should be taken care of, but I have a real problem when we take the gift of prophecy and now they're saying counseling, just like this. And you have to have an appointment because they want to be paid $50 to $100 an hour. No, God, but God going to stop it. Because I find nowhere in the Bible where that's happened. Not one time. For the word of God, I'm not talking about when you in the church and you preaching and they want to bring the pastor some fruit and vegetables or bread and I'm not talking about that. When God give you a word from me, and it may stop me from harming myself or doing something, he give you the word to tell me, but you won't give it to me unless I give you $50. God, I just don't understand. I just don't, and I will never, ever do it. I will never, ever do it. If I got a word from somebody, God give me a word for somebody, if they want to give me some money or whatever it is, that's on them. That's between them and God. But I'm not finna say, tell you, listen, you give me. I know Pastor Sharon used to come on the radio broadcast on the conference line, and it was an apostle. She was sick, and he would not pray for her unless she gave him $1,500, and the lady didn't have $1,500. And he did not pray for her, and she went through a whole lot of suffering. I don't know who he is, but God knows. And God's going to remind him, and God's going to judge him for that. God is going to judge him for that. Yes, he is. He's going to judge him for that. And so when I tell you, that's between him and God, because God don't give you the gift for you to prostitute his gift. And everybody, oh, well, you know, the workman is the ox is, or whatever it is, of his hire. I'm getting it confused. But anyway, what they're saying is the pastor or the preacher is worthy to be compensated. Whatever people give you. See, that's a lot of what's going on in the church now. These pastors making millions of dollars, thousands and millions of dollars. And that's between them and God. I have nothing bad to say about it. That's between them and God. But I tell you what, when it comes to the prophetic, I'm just telling you now, if you charging people $50, $100 an hour to give them the word what God is giving them, if you charging them to pray for them, when you talking about the fear of the Lord, we better have some fear for God. I'm telling you, God is not pleased with that. I know that. You know, some people might say, well, if you was somebody special, you know, people don't care whether you got a gift or not. They talk about somebody up in all out and, you know, big and all that. No. You better remember where you come from. You better remember how you got there. You better remember that the gift does not belong to you. It does not. These are God's gifts. Because if you doing the right thing, if you're prophesying, if you preaching, if you laying on hands, if you calling it like God say call it, don't you know God's going to take it? I just want God to take care of me. I just want him to do it. I don't have to go ask nobody for anything. God will make my enemies take care of me. I don't have to have them to take care of me. God give me a health and strength. I go work for myself, whatever, hallelujah. I'm not charging nobody to pray for them. I won't do it. I'm not charging anyone to give them what God give me to give them. I'll be too afraid. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have it. I couldn't tell you nothing. If it was not for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be able to tell you nothing. For God's anointing. So we take what God has given us, and we try to charge somebody $1,500 to pray for them. No, no, no. Something wrong there. Something wrong there. But I tell you, We got to get back in line as prophets, or your words will fall to the ground. God give us opportunity to straighten up. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And he give us an opportunity to straighten our life up. We better do it. We better do it. We have a long ways to go in the prophetic, and I'm not going to stop teaching on the prophetic for maybe another month. But it's so many things, different things, that's going to blow your mind. We need the training and the development. I need it. I need it. I never get too old to learn. I never say I know I have arrived and I know. No. I don't know anything. But God knows everything. I know nothing apart from Christ. If it had not been for the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost, if it hadn't been for the Father, I wouldn't know anything. I wouldn't even know how to put my shoes on the right feet. We take that stuff for granted. If God take his covering and hand off of us, we'll lose our very mind. But people don't even look at that. They don't know why people are in mental institutions and things. They don't know why. But, you know, God got a way. He got his own way. I'm just a mouthpiece. And I may not be the person that speaks so good and so divine and all that. I get my point across. I can't help the way I sound and the way I speak. If God didn't want me to speak, believe me, he wouldn't allow me to do it. If he didn't want me to teach, he called me rabbi for years. And I thought he was talking about somebody else. But now I know. It took me long enough to know. So I thank God for him downloading in me the things he wanted me to teach. Things I never knew before. But it's all about him and not about me. All about God. It's not about me. Because I'm a nobody apart from Christ. And I don't care. I just want to please him. And I want him to be impressed with what I'm doing. I'm trying to seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to stay in the prophetic where he called me to. I'm trying to stay in the intercession where he called me, in the apostolic where he called me. I don't care about all this other stuff. Because, honey, believe me, before this year is out, this radio broadcast is going to be full, because the way things are taking change in the America, everybody going to need to pray. Everybody going to want to worry. Everybody going to be looking for God, seeking him. Believe me. Mm-hmm. We're going to be blessed in 2017? Yeah, we are. But, honey, just wait and see. When they're going to start stopping a whole lot of stuff, and folks going to start running because they ain't going to be able to take it. They're not going to be able to take it. But I'm not going to hold you. I'm so grateful to God for all of you that joined in with us on tonight and our study of the Word of God. Next week is going to be different. I'm going to open up the lines for people to ask questions and discuss. I will not sit up not one more night and not discuss, have people discussing. So I just thank and praise God for you and you that joined in with me on tonight. I give God praise and glory. We're going to get ready to close out now. Father, In the name of Jesus, we just praise God. We praise you. We thank you tonight. We magnify you. We thank you for opening up our understanding. We thank you for teaching us, Holy Ghost. We thank you for being right here in the name of Jesus. Father, I just give you praise, and we give you praise and glory. Thank you for everyone in Radio Land. We thank you for everyone on the radio broadcast. I ask you to bless them with the blessing that they stand in need with tonight, Lord. Father, we just give you all praise and glory, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you all, and you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath. Good night. God loves you, and I love you too. Amen.